And welcome to Rock Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo. This is the show where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. And this week, we're going to think a little bit about movies. Our special guest this week is Rich Cristiano. He's a Christian movie director, and he also has a website, ChristianMovies.com. And what we want to do tonight is talk a little bit about movies, Christianity, pop culture, Christianity, and things of that nature. Talk a little bit about what makes a Christian movie a Christian movie. How should Christians get involved or not get involved with pop culture and the movie culture? And we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Rich Cristiano about Christian movies, being involved in that field, by all means, give us a call, 505-338-5790. Anytime you have a question or an opinion that you want to share, of course, you're always welcome to do that here on Raw Talk. Rich, thank you so much for joining me tonight and taking time out of your busy schedule. I really appreciate you making time for this tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I talked to you not too long ago when your movie Unidentified came into theaters, and we're making a big push for that. And I had so much fun hearing you talk about movies and the passion that you have for this, especially the passion you have for it as a Christian. I just thought, man, I have to have this guy come back for Raw Talk because he likes to talk, and this would be the perfect format for you. And I think we can get into some interesting territory tonight as we talk, because you're a filmmaker and I'm a film critic, so I'm sure that's going to make for an interesting dynamic.
That'll be good. I'm ready to go. Yeah, no, this will be exciting. Christian films, I think, a lot of interesting things happening in the Christian movie industry. And, you know, to me, the biggest problem the church faces is secular entertainment. If you want to know why people are not into the Word of God, if you want to know why the church is as lukewarm today as it is, it's because people are in bondage when it comes to television and the movies. And I can't tell you where to draw the line, but I know this. I just think that the media is killing us, really. And there is, entertainment in this society is a drug. People have to have their entertainment. I understand that. And I think that, you know, the more Christ-centered entertainment you can put into your system, the better off you're going to be. So I think Christian movies are starting to come up a little bit as more feature films are being made. But there's some problems even attached to that, because some of the movies that are coming out that claim to be Christian don't even talk about Jesus, and they're being tossed into the Christian film category. So there's a battle going on even within the Christian films themselves. But at the same time, more and more movies are being made, and I think that people are starting to notice them a little bit.
Well, let's kick off a little bit talking about your latest movie, Unidentified, released around 6-7 weeks ago, something like that. And it's done fairly well, I guess you could say, about 222,000 at the box office so far, yeah?
Yeah, and we were pretty, you know, it's funny. Actually, the movie came out April 28th. We did what was called a limited release, and the problem with Unidentified, it was not getting it into the theater. I could have put this movie in 1,000 theaters. The problem is promoting the movie and get the word out. And overall, we were pretty disappointed in our numbers. I ran the theaters from April 28th, and obviously we ran in your area. We came out on October 27th. So we ran throughout the summer in various cities. And, you know, our last film, Time Changer, did a lot better. We played more markets with Time Changer. I learned a lot again this year doing the movie in the theater, and in fact, I even have the DVD out now on our website. The DVD is actually not coming out into Blockbuster and Hollywood Video and kind of like the secular market until the end of January. But right now on some of the Christian websites, our website is ChristianMovies.com, you can get a copy of Unidentified. In fact, we're doing a huge Christmas sale right now on our website. And more and more Christians are getting Christian movies, and more families are trying to get DVDs for their homes, you know, obviously just for their own entertainment to use as witnessing tools and stuff. But the response to Unidentified has been good. This has been the perplexing thing from our perspective. In some cases, I got better response to this film than I did our last film, Time Changer, and we got excellent response from that. But just didn't translate into numbers. And I think part of the problem is we did a movie 3 years ago in the theater called Time Changer, and at that time, DVDs were just coming out. Mm. Now, when this movie came out this year, I think some things have happened. First of all, the church in general is just more lukewarm, not as fired up about things of Jesus. Now, obviously, you have your remnant, but I think the whole thing where the church is kind of lukewarm. Secondly, everybody in their home now has 100 cable channels. You know, I mean, that has exploded. And also, people are buying DVDs. It's now people are buying movies, and a lot of people would rather watch a DVD at home. You know, even though the Hollywood numbers are doing about the same, what's happening in Hollywood is there's a million movies coming out. The movies are staying in the theater for less time, and you've got a lot of movies coming out with big-name talent. They're out 3 weeks, and they're done. You know, they're just not doing the box office numbers. As one of the main theater booker guys said to me, just from the Hollywood business, he goes, we'll have about 10 films that'll do decent. The problem is, films 11 through 50 are not doing the business they used to do. Hmm. So, and again, you know, people are picky, I guess, what they go see or whatever. But so there, we had those things fighting against us. Now, you do have some exceptions because there were a couple Christian films that came out here. Facing the Giants did very well. One Night with the King. But they spent $5 to $6 million to promote those movies too. And that's not what people don't know behind the scenes. They put a lot of money out to promote those films. And what basically even Hollywood does this, the theater they see is advertising for their movie. And then when it comes out on DVD, that's where they hope to make it.
Right.
So, it's a business like anything else. And obviously the thing about Christian films is it's beyond just trying to get somebody to go see your movie or sell a DVD. You're trying to communicate a message. Our goal with the films that we make is to first try to please the Lord. And I don't say that to be spiritual. I mean, John 15:5 is probably my filmmaking verse. Jesus said, abide in me, you'll bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. In fact, I think this is a good ministry verse. Because I've learned this, Joe, if we want to reach somebody for Christ, and we all say we do, I don't care if you're a pastor, a musician, a filmmaker, whatever, at least if you're doing Christian stuff, God's Spirit is the only person that can reach anybody. I mean, Billy Graham never reached one person for Jesus. Now, obviously, God has used him, but it's God's Spirit that reaches people. So Jesus said, look, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if I first don't please the Lord with what I'm doing, I've got a nothing. Now, it doesn't mean we can't be creative. Time Changer is a time travel movie. Unidentified is a movie about two guys investigating a UFO sighting in a small Texas town. I feel like both films have a very clear, non-compromising, out-front message for the Lord. They're both not only for the Christian, but they're also evangelistic for the non-Christian, yet at the same time, they're entertaining. So you can achieve both. You can please the Lord and make an entertaining film at the same time. And what's happening in the industry is you got guys coming out with their family-oriented films, or they'll come out with a movie and they got one scene in there about God, and they call it a Christian film, and the Christian bookstores are biting on some of these movies. And to me, that's not what we need. In other words, you know, Mormonism is all about being squeaky clean and family-oriented, but that's not the true faith. So I think if you're doing Christian ministry, you can't leave the Lord out of it. At least I don't want to.
Right.
So hopefully when somebody watches our movies, they're going to – hopefully they'll know, look, here are guys that are making films that we think through our scripts. We're story-driven movies that hopefully they're going to be entertaining, but at the same time have a powerful message for the Lord, a message that the Lord can use in somebody's life. So, you know, and so far, things have been going well in that aspect. What we would like to do, like anybody else, is just, like, get the word out more in our films. Most Christians could not name you 5 Christian films. The awareness is not there. Now, things are picking up. And what is helping Christian movies is now you have more and more feature-length films coming out. It used to be 20 years ago, you'd make a movie on 16 millimeter, and it would just rent out to the churches. You'd rent it to the pastor or youth pastor. So all the advertising was targeted toward those two guys, and they would choose the movie they'd want to watch. Now, with DVDs and stuff, the feature-length films can get in the Blockbuster. Blockbuster's starting to carry Christian movies. Netflix, the secular guys are seeing it as a category. Even Walmart's selling some, and obviously the Christian bookstores are jumping on the bandwagon where they're starting to carry DVDs. But, you know, websites and individual Christians are buying movies to use not only for their own entertainment, but also for witnessing tools. But I'll go back to my first statement, yo, is I really believe this. If I could ever speak to 500 pastors, I would sit up and say, look, the biggest problem you have in your church is secular entertainment.
Right.
That's the biggest thing you're trying to battle. More and more churches are starting to show Christian movies in their churches, like on Sunday night or whatever. as an event, not only for their own people, but they use it as an evangelistic tool. And that's something that also is starting to up and come. But ultimately, as individual Christians, we have to use discernment with what we view, because, you know, it just sucks it out of you. You could be fired up for Jesus, and you start watching something on TV or rent something to see a store, and it just takes your commitment away or whatever. And I just think it's going to be an ongoing battle. I personally go to very few films in the theater, very few. Most of it's out of conviction. And yet, even I'm a filmmaker, I would love to see kind of like how some of, you know, how some of the big Hollywood guys or whatever are doing some things, but out of conviction, I just can't sit there, you know. So I try to be very, very, very few films. I mean, very few. I hardly ever rent a DVD, and you know, I see all the Christian movies that come down the pipe because we preview them to put them on our site. But I don't know. I just think we got to be wiser in this area, that's for sure.
Wow, there's like a whole lot that I could touch in there in just that opening statement. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Rich Cristiano, please give us a call, 505-338-5790. Something that you'd like to ask about Christianity and movies, being involved with the movie industry as a Christian, anything along those lines, an opinion you'd like to share, we'd love to hear that, 505-338-5790. Now, Rich, let me ask you, you know, this not this weekend, but the weekend before, a new Christian movie, as some would call it, came out. The Nativity Story hit theaters, and I was actually kind of surprised. I got a chance to preview that movie, and here was a movie that I thought, okay, you know, this pretty much touches base on a lot of the things that made The Passion of the Christ so successful, and yet it's not nearly as violent. That's got to be a plus for, you know, the whole family-friendliness type stuff. And so that hit in theaters, and I was expecting, wow, you know, it's the Christmas season. This is the Nativity Story. It's a lot of the stuff that was similar with what people liked about The Passion of the Christ. This should be a huge hit, and yet it's kind of fizzling at the box office. I mean, it's not doing terrible, but compared to The Passion of the Christ, I'm kind of wondering why were Christians, in your opinion, why were Christians so much more drawn to an extremely violent movie? Yes, it was about Jesus dying for our sins on the cross, but man, one of the most violent movies out there. And now we have another movie that, for the first time in history, was put together by a Hollywood studio, which is what Christians have been crying about. Why won't Hollywood make Christian movies? Why is Hollywood always ignoring us? Well, here they are, doing what we've asked for so many years, and yet Christians are just like, oh, yeah, whatever. I mean, what's your take on how, you know, the Nativity Story is doing compared to The Passion of the Christ and some of these other Christian movies that have come out?
Well, good question. Okay, keep in mind, The Passion of the Christ came out, I think, what, at least 3-plus years ago, right?
It came out in 2004.
And what made The Passion of Christ? Now, I'm with you. To me, I didn't go see The Passion of Christ in the theater because, to me, it was very violent, and I was absolutely stunned that The Passion did the business it did. You had churches buying out screens, and some churches bought out entire weekends and stuff. And, you know, certainly The Passion can be a film that can be used as a witnessing tool, because somebody can watch that movie and you can, even though it doesn't evangelize in the film at all, you as a believer could say, I want to ask you two questions. Why did Jesus have to die? And why did Jesus die for, you know, like that? And what's required of you? So you can use it as a tool. Now, again, I think some things have changed from 3 years ago till today. Now, here's the thing with the Nativity. I got to see a screening of the Nativity as you did. In fact, I saw it at the end of October. And the thing about the Nativity, I think the Nativity is a decent film, but as I watched this movie, I thought, you know what? Even though I think that movie is accurate, I really think it is, I just didn't think it was compelling enough where I wasn't sure this movie was going to get the word of mouth. And they spent like almost $40 million to shoot that movie and probably another $20 million to promote it. And just so you know, when a movie, so that's $60 million they got in that movie. And let's say the movie grosses $50 million at the box office. They only get half of it back. Theater keeps half. So you can do the math there. What I think Hollywood is looking at is what I call historical religious movies. Hollywood is going to do a Nativity, and supposedly they're going to maybe, somebody's talking about remaking Ten Commandments and stuff. They're going to maybe do films like that. Even The Passion of the Christ, and you know that was a bold film, and because of all the controversy with Mel Gibson, it stirred it up. But what Hollywood has not taken the step yet is to do what I would call a contemporary Christian film. Now, did Facing the Giants play in your area, Yo?
I don't know if we had a screening of that here. I did not see one here, so I don't know if it actually ever hit theaters here in New Mexico that I'm aware of.
Facing the Giants has been an interesting story because this is a movie that was made by a church for about $100,000 in Albany, Georgia. And the filmmaker's name is Alex Kendrick. And what I like about Alex Kendrick is he has a real heart for the Lord. And Facing the Giants is a feel-good Christian film that's about football. Now, Provident, which has Provident Music, has a film division now, and they put this movie out. And they did all sorts of screenings all across the country, and this movie played heavily in the South. But this movie's grossed about $10 million. It's been a phenomenal hit with audiences, and it's done well. At least I would consider this a contemporary Christian film. I mean, even TBN produced this movie called One Night with the King about the Book of Esther. And again, that's an historical religious film that can be categorized. What we're trying to produce, like Time Changer, Unidentified Facing the Giants, are contemporary Christian films, and to me, the Hollywood studios have not really taken that step yet. I personally, when I saw The Nativity, I thought this movie just doesn't have the controversy, this is not going to do, if they thought that was going to do $200 million, there's no way. Now, I was surprised it only did $8 million on the opening weekend, and I know the weather really hurt us because they brought it out big. And, in fact, I looked at the numbers on it on Friday night. It did maybe another $1.5 million or whatever. So when this movie's done, it may do $30 million. I'm not sure if it'll do $25 to $30 million, but I just think that some of the things I said earlier that even Hollywood, it's difficult for them to hit a big movie. Now, obviously, earlier this year, Pirates of the Caribbean, which wasn't a very good film, from what I understand, all the people that went and saw it that loved it said the first one was a lot better, but it did over $400 million. I mean, they have an occasional blockbuster like that, and you've got Spider-Man coming out again this summer or whatever. But there's a lot of movies coming out there that even have big-name talent in it. Like Clint Eastwood did a movie called Flags of the Father that was out a couple months ago, and it did maybe $20 or $30 million. You think that sounds like a lot. Well, he probably spent 80 on it. So I'm sure that they were really disappointed in what that did, So, I don't know. I think it's hard. It's getting harder and harder for even Hollywood to hit the mass audience. And, our society is becoming more and more dissected. Now, in a way, this has helped Christian movies because what's happening, like, for example, if 20 years ago I told you there was going to be a channel on television called the Weather Channel, you would think I'd absolutely nuts. You want to put me in a pit. But the dissection of the audience is really helping Christian movies because now the Christian consumer group is being recognized. Or you might have, when you walk into Walmart now, you can find films on urban films or rap films, horror films, and now you're going to start to see Christian films. You're going to start seeing that category. I know Blockbuster and these guys, Netflix has probably bought 60 movies from us. The problem is on Netflix is nobody knows, they don't advertise the category correctly yet, and so people don't really know a lot of the movies are there. So, in essence, the fact that this market is so dissected as it is kind of helping Christian movies. What I'm hoping eventually gets launched is a Christian movie channel. That's something that my brother and I are wanting to see on television. That's a whole other hour for us to talk about Christian television, and we're trying to do some things there that can kind of help that. I have a twin brother named Dave, who just shot a weekly drama for television called Seventh Street Theater. And this is an excellent idea. This is something you can watch at 9 o'clock on a Friday night that is fun to watch. It's a fun show. It's a drama, but it's also got a message for the Lord. He's trying to make a deal with a couple of the Christian TV stations that badly need dramatic programming to draw people to get his show on the air. So we'll see if he can make that happen this year. Let me ask you this, Joe. You saw The Nativity.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, what was your thoughts of that movie? What did you think?
Well, I'll agree with you. I didn't think it was a great film. I thought it was a good film. There are a lot of parts in it where I was like, okay, this is the standard Bible movie cheese where lines are delivered in a very wooden and stilted manner because they want to sound reverent and they confuse reverent with boring. But for every moment that was like that, there were two or three moments that I thought were at least thought-provoking that challenged me to think about, man, this is probably similar to the situation that Joseph and Mary faced, as they were faced with bringing God as a child into the world. And so there's a lot of moments that I found very moving, and I found very thought-provoking, thinking about, well, what's the big deal with Christmas? So, I thought it was a pretty good film. I enjoyed seeing it. I actually ended up seeing it twice, and because I wanted to take my wife to it. But I didn't understand. And here's the thing, going back to The Passion of the Christ, I didn't think that movie was nearly as good as everybody said. The thing I liked about the Nativity is it was very subtle, and therefore it was easy for me to get emotionally caught up into it, because it was very subtle in how it presented some of the more emotional moments. In Mel Gibson's movie, I was totally aware that my emotions were being manipulated. Like, the movie was commanding me, feel this way now, with the way it was shot and the music that was playing and everything. And I hate when I know that I'm being manipulated to feel a certain way. You know, I don't like being hit over the head with an emotional 2x4 saying, you're supposed to cry now! This is dramatic! And so that movie, I really did not think it was as good and worth the attention that everybody gave to it. And I know that's an unpopular opinion, but
no, I'm with you.
There you go.
I'm with you there, 100% on that. When it came to The Passion, a guy gave me a DVD, and I sped through the DVD, and I sped over all the bloody, violent parts, and I just watched some of the scenes. And I think what it was is you had ABC, NBC, and CBS giving them all this free advertising. You know, they interviewed Mel and all that stuff, and of course he screened it for a ton of people. And I was really surprised that the church. I almost felt like this. The church felt obligated. We've got to support this movie.
Yes.
I really felt that.
Yes.
And not that it's a bad thing.
No.
And I agree with you. To me, The Nativity, I think, is a better film. From what I saw of The Passion, I liked The Nativity better. And, you know, the thing about The Nativity, it's accurate. And the guy that played Joseph in The Nativity.
Oh, he's amazing.
He is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
He really was.
He alone is worth seeing the film for.
Yeah, I mean, they probably could have cut 10 or 15 minutes out of that movie to move it a little bit quicker, you know, and that might have helped it. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, again, there's no real controversy attached to it, but it's like this. Nativity is a profitable film for people to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that at least, for a Hollywood, if you want to call it a Hollywood historical religious movie, at least it's accurate, which mm-hmm. is what I did appreciate, or at least I didn't find a lot of glaring areas in it. And, you know, they took an interesting liberty with the three wise men and stuff, and that was just a choice to make.
But it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not, and, you know, certainly you can use that as a witnessing tool. Just say, hey, you know, okay, Jesus is born, but for what? You can go from there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, to me, you know, we're more in doing the contemporary Christian films, and I'll tell you, the sad thing, there are very few guys, and there's not 10 guys on the planet that want to make what I would call contemporary Christian films, and you got to understand what we're up against. In other words, like Unidentified cost us $600,000 to do, and that's nothing when you look at a Hollywood standard. But still, I have to sell enough DVDs, and we have to do enough business from church rentals and stuff to be able to pay our investors back, so we can shoot more films. And I think what's going to happen as the distribution continues to get wider on Christian movies, then you're going to see the quality of the productions continue to increase. What I hope, though, is that they don't take the messages out. And that's what's happening. Because what makes a Christian film is a message for the Lord. It's kind of like this, yo. If you and I were going to make a martial arts movie, the first thing we need to put in that movie is martial arts. Because that's what the core audience wants to see. They want to see the fights and the kicks. When you go see a Jackie Chan movie, you want to see all the fights. Well, with a Christian movie, let's not be afraid of the spiritual content. And what I've learned in doing Christian movies since 1985, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And what we've learned in doing our movies, we always have characters, we call them points of authority. For example, in Unidentified, the religion editor at the magazine, this movie's about these two guys that work for a national magazine that start investigating a UFO sighting in a small Texas town. And one of the guys that works at the magazine, the religion editor, the character's name is Darren. He becomes the key character for me in this movie. He's the guy that I funnel all the truth through in the film, and he shares the gospel and the message. But we set the audience up. So even though you might not agree with Darren, you're going to listen to Darren. if for those people listening that maybe seen our movie Time Changer, the Gavin McLeod character in Time Changer, who played Dr. Norris Anderson in that movie, he was a point of authority. When he shared truth, people listened because we set him up. And this is what I've learned. Unlike those other films that I see, and I hate to name names, but, you know, that some of these Christian movies come out, and they're kind of secular feel, and they throw their one little God scene in there, and it comes out of left field, comes off corny, hokey, cheesy, and then people are down on Christian films. I know that my favorite movies are the Christian movies, favorite films, and those are the films the Lord wants to use to change lives. And I wish that more people would get involved in Christian films, not only in the distribution, the production, the financing. There's a lot of things, you know, that we need. But as the DVDs get out more, people are becoming a little bit more aware of films. And, you know, again, it's a tool. It's a way to reach America. I mean, because this is an entertainment crazy country. I mean, we live for our entertainment.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And so I think some churches are starting to wake up to that.
505-338-5790. If you have a question or an opinion that you'd like to share about what we're discussing tonight, Christian movies, Christians and movies, how should we engage the pop culture through movies, any question that you might have, if you'd like to ask Rich how to get involved with you know, the making, distribution, like you just said, we need more people involved with that, you can call as well, 505-338-5790. Now, Rich, let me ask you something that I don't know. It's always been kind of a conundrum for me when I think about this. Okay, we want to make Christian movies to get the message out. But in order to get the message out, we have to make a Christian movie that appeals to the core audience, which would be Christians. So Christians go and they support the movie in order to make the movie viable. But since Christians already know the message, then is the message really getting out? And if in order to get the message out, you have to have people go see the movie, so you have to have, you know, the stuff that Christians want. You know, I'm just kind of curious, how does the message get out when, and this is purely my opinion, a lot of times it seems like Christian movies are basically preaching to the choir. I go see a Christian movie and I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, this is good, but I know all this already. I'm not finding this entertaining because this is all stuff that I'm being preached at that I already know, and my interest starts to wane. What would your answer be to that?
Of course, your interest never waned when you watched Time Changer Unidentified. You were glued to the screen, right? I can answer that with this. If people would go to our website, christianmovies.com, and click on articles, we wrote an article called Philosophy of Christian Film. And to me, if you make a movie, I'll give you my philosophy and strategy in doing films, and I'll answer your question. Back in the 1800s, a guy by the name of Charles Spurgeon, which a lot of people have heard of, wrote a book called Around the Wicked Gate. Now, the Wicked Gate is the narrow gate of Matthew 7:14. And basically, I'll bring it up to modern times, but here's what Spurgeon is saying in that book. The church is trying to evangelize the lost. He goes, now look, around the Wicked Gate, or the narrow gate, there are thousands and thousands of people just outside that gate. These people are church members, professing Christians, intellectual believers, religious people. These people have never received Jesus. They say they believe in Jesus, but they've never received him. And he says, and they're jammed around the wicked gate. But what the church does, instead of trying to reach those people, they try to reach the guy at the LA Times that could care less about God, Jesus, or the Bible. And now what Spurgeon would say is, look, forget the guy at the L.A. Times. Totally forget him. He says, Jesus told you, do not take your pearl and cast it to the swine. What Spurgeon would say is, let's focus on reaching the people around the wicked gate. Now, what we've tried to do with our movies is the same thing. If you watch a movie, Time Changer, in that movie I tried to present truth to Christians, to motivate Christians. Also, I tried to make the movie evangelistic. We did the same with Unidentified. In Unidentified, we have three characters in the movie. We have a believer, a professing believer, and a non-believer. Now, if you think about it, everybody on this planet is one of those three people. So I feel like that film's for everybody. But first and foremost, we try to please the Lord with the film. And you know what? To me, yo, the mission field is really in the church almost, because I personally believe that basically when you go to any church on any given Sunday, any evangelical Bible-believing church, is at least half those people in that church are lost. Half those people, they may intellectually know Jesus, they may say they believe in Jesus, but the demons believe. And I think the problem is, it's just, and the verse that jumps out to me is John 1, verse 12,
mm-hmm.
where the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to be sons of God. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. And what it is, you have people that believe in Jesus but never received him. So in essence, if we're trying to reach people, I agree with Spurgeon. Let's try to reach the people first that are interested. Now, look, I would love to reach the guy at the L.A. Times, but I think the way to reach him is to give him something 180 degrees from where he's at. Like, for example, if you would give the guy at the L.A. Times a movie like Time Changer that it's so far from where he is, people think, oh, we're never going to reach him that way. Well, wait a minute. First of all, it's God's Spirit that reaches them anyway, and if you first don't please the Lord, you're never going to reach this guy. And I'll give you this example. I was raised Roman Catholic. I went to a Catholic high school, I mean Catholic grammar school, went to a Catholic college. I was an altar boy for 10 years. The first non-Catholic church I ever walked into was a church out in California out here. John MacArthur was the pastor at Grace Community Church. Maybe some of your listeners know who he is, but he's a very popular, solid Bible teacher. Now get this, I walk into this church, it's 180 degrees from what I'm used to, but it gets my attention. God uses it to get my attention. If I had walked into a Lutheran church that day, which is just a spin-off of the Catholic church, I think this is no big deal, and I'm going to go back to the Catholic church. And I think that's what we have to do in our society. What it is we try to water everything down, oh, we got to reach kids, you know, so we got to put stuff in there. And a lot of guys, they make their movies, and we got to put a little language in there to make it real, or maybe have a little sex scene or something. And we're trying to acquiesce to the world, and I think that's totally wrong thinking.
Hey, Rich, hold on. I want to touch on that point here in just a second, what you were talking about. But first, we do have a caller that I want to squeeze in here real quick, and then we'll come back to your thought, if that's all right. We have Melissa on the line. Melissa, welcome to Ron Talk. And what do you have to say, Melissa?
Some Christians are kind of leery about going to see Christian movies because mm-hmm. in Christian movies, they'll put, like, gay people in it, kind of like in The Spear, The End of the Spear.
Mm-hmm.
The main character was gay, and people don't want to go see a Christian movie with gays, and it sends mixed messages.
Yeah, Rich, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, well, that was, first of all, End of the Spear, and let me say this about End of the Spear. We were real disappointed with that movie, and I hate to be critical of that film, but to me, you know, here's the story of Jim Elliot, who gave his life for Jesus Christ to go over and try to reach these people, and to me, the missionaries in this movie could have been Mormon missionaries or Muslim missionaries for all we knew.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that movie fell way short of the power and message of the Christian film that it could have been. So, Melissa, we don't even sell that on our website, just to give you an example. But to answer your question, I think it was very unfortunate what happened when they cast that particular guy. And my perspective in casting is this. I try to put believers in believers' roles. It doesn't necessarily bother me if some, at least people that claim Christ, put it that way, okay? We try to put believers in believers' roles. If a guy's lost and he's playing a lost guy in a movie, so be it, you know? And so it's just too bad. You know, look at the problem they got with the Nativity, you know, where the girl that played Mary in the Nativity is 16 years old and she's pregnant. I mean, they tried to throw that in their face, so that's something they got to kind of deflect. And, you know, I mean, that's the price you pay. And you know, the End of the Spear thing, it was unfortunate, you know, and it kind of hurt the movie. But to me, the bigger problem with that movie is not that the lead guy was gay. The biggest problem is, look, you didn't even talk about Christ in this movie. And to me, you missed a great opportunity where you could have really made this movie more powerful. Obviously, the production was very good. They spent $10 million on this movie, and it looked great. But, again, it comes down to the content and the script. And you know what it is? They're trying to water it down because they say they want to reach the mainstream. Well, I'll tell you this. To me, the church is the mainstream. There's almost 100 million people that go to church each week in America. That's the mainstream audience. That's the largest consumer group there is. And so that's where my thinking is. That's the mainstream. Everything else is outside the mainstream. So that's maybe different thinking than what most people say, but that's where I'm at. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Does that help you out, Melissa?
Yeah, it did. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Melissa. We appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thanks. Okay.
If you have a question that you'd like to ask, 505-338-5790, an opinion you'd like to share about this topic, we'd love to hear your opinion. If you want to dive in on this conversation, please do so. 505-338-5790. Now,
can I say one quick thing?
Yeah, jump in.
Most Christians have not seen what we would consider true Christian films. They just haven't seen them.
Mm-hmm.
Flywheel. There's a movie that, now this is not, Flywheel is a great story. The production is not a good production the way these guys did it. It's just a fair production. But that movie is a true Christian film that gets great response. I think Time Changer is at least a true Christian film with a real message for the Lord. My brother made a movie called Late One Night. That's a true Christian film with a real message for the Lord. You go back to Thief in the Night, which is, you know, late in the 70s. At least that's a true Christian film. There's a category which we would call true contemporary Christian films. The Crossing, Final Exit is a movie that comes to mind. End of the Harvest, The Appointment, Second Glance, Pamela's Prayer. Movies like this that I would consider to be the true Christian films that most people are not aware of. And that's sort of the sad thing, you know. And that, those are the type of films that we're trying to get out there more, because I think at least when you watch those movies, you're going to sense God's Holy Spirit on the film. And that's the key. That, to me, is what makes it a Christian film. When you watch it, do you sense an anointing? Do you sense God's Spirit on that film? Certainly God can use anything. And that's an excuse people throw up in our face. Like, you take the movie like The Sixth Sense. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Yep.
That was a movie about life after death. I mean, God could use that movie if he wanted to, because you could watch this movie, and then you could ask your friend, do you believe in life after death? And if he starts answering that question, certainly you can take it to Jesus. But I don't think God wants to justify the ends by the means. I think God is looking for faithful people that want to follow him and want to have good motives. And you know, the problem is we got to be content with numbers. For example, you've got this radio show on from, you know, 7 to 8 Mountain Time here in Albuquerque, and it goes across the state. And we don't know what your listenership is. But in God's eyes, you could have the best Christian radio station on, and you could have the best Christian radio show in the land. And people say, wait a minute, Yo's only on in New Mexico. What about Focus on the Family and all these other big radio guys that are all across the country? You know what? It's not about numbers with God. It's about faithfulness and motives. And this is something I've learned. I remember when we were getting ready to make Time Changer, it's like the Lord said to me, Rich, I don't care if 10 people see this movie, you make it for me. And you know, lots of times we've had over 900 churches rent that movie, and I'll bet you 500 of those churches haven't had 60 people in them. They've been churches of 100 people or less. And when the pastors normally call in to rent the movie and schedule it, I always say the same thing to them lots of times. I'll say, you know, because we charge by the attendance, how many people do you have? Me? Well, we're not a very big church. We only have 50 people. And I normally say, but you could have the best church in town. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, with God, it's about faithfulness and motives. Are you faithfully teaching the Word of God? Do you got pure motives? Because obviously everybody wants to be bigger. And I think God's just looking for people that want to be faithful. I'd love to sell 10 billion DVDs, but I don't want to do it compromising the message. Star Wars compromised the message. See, Star Wars is not a Christian film. Yeah, they sell 10 million DVDs, but it doesn't do anything for the Lord. And so we want to keep that perspective. So it's not about how big you are. How about how faithful are you? So, you know, hopefully some people out there take that as encouragement.
I take that as encouragement. We have Tara on the line. Tara, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a question. What do you think about the secular people making biblical films? If you, I guess, you know, with them making Lord of the Rings and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then I'm not sure who took Joseph King of Dreams and then something about Moses.
Right. Rich, what would you respond to that? What do you think about secular studios, secular people, mainstream people who don't really believe in Christ handling sacred stories?
I don't like it. I mean, I would prefer not. And to me, Lord of the Rings, to me, is not a Christian film. The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, to me, is not really a Christian film, even though Christians can watch it and pull some things out of it. But again, you know, I don't think that the secular guys can do films that are going to be anointed by the Lord if you don't have some born-again Christians in there doing them, so they know what's good and what isn't, you know. And to me, the answer is not to look to Hollywood to solve this problem. Is we need to raise up Christian filmmakers that are going to want to do films for the Lord, and there's a few. And the Lord can raise up more if he wants, but, you know, to me, name one Hollywood studio that's made a Christian film. Name one.
New Line Cinema.
Christian... Pardon?
New Line Cinema with the Nativity Story. But
okay,
you said that's religious history.
Kind of like religious history. You name one contemporary Christian film that some studios made. I can't think of one.
But what about that Joseph King of Dreams and the other one? I mean, they were cartoons and...
Yeah,
again, you're talking about, though, we're talking about Old Testament, kind of historical religious movies, Ten Commandments, things like that. Let's fast forward into modern times.
Oh,
you know, where,
the contemporary
you know what I'm
films.
Saying?
Yeah.
And there, you know, there are Christian filmmakers out there, a handful of guys that are wanting to make their films for the Lord. And again, I think that films are going to continue to come up. Like, for example, 20th Century Fox has a division now called Fox Faith, where they're doing religious movies. And what they're doing is they're finding books that have sold well in the Christian bookstores, and they're making movies of them. Like, for example, Frank Peretti wrote a book called The Visitation, so they made that movie. This other guy wrote a book called Three, so they made that movie. Now, but these movies have virtually zero message for Jesus in it. But because it's based on Peretti, they're trying to get the best of both worlds. They're trying to get the Christian audience to buy into the movie because Frank Peretti, who's perceived as a Christian writer, and yet at the same time they're selling, trying to get him in Walmart and all that stuff, and they just, it's like Fox even put, we don't want to proselyze anybody. Of course, all they want to do is make money. And because they see the Christian consumer group as a growing Christian consumer group, they're coming in and watering it down, and they're taking space from the Christian bookstores that really they shouldn't have, but because they got a lot of money to promote it, this and that, and the Christian bookstores are biting this hook, line, and sinker, because, you know, they got to stay alive, and the church gets more and more lukewarm. And it's sad, you know, and just, I don't know, just nobody says anything about it. But
does that help you out at all, Tara?
It does, but hold on one sec.
Yeah.
I caught the show actually toward the end,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering your guys' opinion on seeing other worldly films. My opinion is that I don't even like PG-13 films because they give bad messages, they use bad language that's more and more acceptable these days. But how do you guys feel about that?
Well, Rich,
you
I know.
That?
No? Well, I'll let you go first, Rich. I know how you're going to answer that, but why don't you go ahead and take that first?
Well, no, go ahead. You go, yo.
All right. Now, let me just say, Tara, Rich and I will probably differ a little bit on this particular issue. I'm a very big advocate of using pop culture to engage people for the kingdom of God. And I know a lot of people feel very strongly about this on one side or the other, and I'm probably one of the few who could take it or leave it either way. I really don't have a problem using a movie that has some language issues or things like that in it if you can use it to point the way to the kingdom of God. And here's why. You know, a lot of times we're very concerned with, like, oh, how much violence is in there? How much language is in there? How much this? How much that? We want it to be a very sanitized worldview, which, in my opinion, is not real, so people are not going to identify with it. You look at the Bible is never sanitized. When David committed adultery, he committed adultery. It's not mentioned that, you know, oh, you know, something bad happened, and we won't go into that because, you know, that's a little, you know, the Bible is very blunt with the good and the bad. You know, evil in the Bible is really evil. You look at some of the stuff that's going to happen in Revelation, scary stuff. So scary, a lot of people don't ever want to read it because it is going to freak them out. So I don't have a problem with that, and I think a lot of times it can be used. Now, I know Rich has a different opinion on that, and I respect people who have the other opinion that, oh no, if we're going to stand out and be salt and light, we have to stand apart. We cannot be similar to the world in any way, because if we're similar to the world, well, then how are people going to know that we're going to be different? I'll let that lead into your response, Rich.
Well, I would respond this way, and I understand what Yo is saying. My thing is this, in doing a project, film or whatever, if the goal is to try to reach people for Jesus, and I said this earlier in the show, that I've learned this. John 15:5, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I submit to you that Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, I don't care whoever, your pastor, you, me, Yo, have never reached one person for Jesus. Only God's Spirit can reach anybody. So if I make a movie, if I truly want God to use that movie to reach people, I think that I've got to first please the Lord. And, you know, when I read the Bible, it talks about truth and holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the God. So I think that we have to tastefully do things. For example, I've thought about this. You could make an X-rated Christian film. What do you mean? Well, we could show a film. We could start out. It could be a porn film. You could show this guy in all sorts of porn. He comes to Jesus, and then he goes and tries to reach his porn people, and he truly comes to Jesus, truly have the gospel. But you could show the sex scenes, and you truly have the gospel. Now, does that fly? That would be so controversial. And I think even though the Bible talks about David doing adultery and all these things, it doesn't show it graphically. You read about it, yes, but it doesn't give you a lot of details about it. I think that we have to be tasteful. And with what we do, we have to do everything with an eye to glorify God first. In other words, you know, David, I think it's in Psalm 40, verse 3, where he said, it's in Psalm 34, where David says, I will praise the Lord. Many will hear it and come to him or something. I wish I had a Bible so I could read it. But basically, the bottom line is David, just by glorifying God, could reach people. And so, you know, in the culture today, I think that the thing that we've done is, you know, we try to reach a 15-year-old kid with an earring. We've got to do a movie showing a 15-year-old kid with an earring. And I think that's no. I think it's hard to become a Christian. There are a few Christians, and we make it too easy for people. The Bible says you search with all your heart, you'll find it. And I think we've got to take the higher road and say, look, this is not just some easy club you walk in and you just sign up and you're in. And what we have today is we have lukewarm Christianity all over this land. And the reason why is because everybody's just so nonchalant towards everything. We've made it so easy to become a Christian. That's why I said earlier in the show, I think half the people in all the churches are lost as it is. So at least with what God has, I think, put it before us, we're trying to do creative films. We did a movie about UFOs and we glorified Jesus. That's not easy to do. Those two don't even mesh. But I think we did it. We did a time travel movie, you know. People like Back to the Future. I got a Christian Back to the Future for you. It's called Time Changer. It's a time travel movie. And so I think that the sky is the limit as far as being creative. But at the same time, there's got to be some rules. And you know, where you draw the line is going to be different with most people. And everybody's got to use their own discernment. You know, it's like this one guy sent me a Christian film to watch. It's about a 20-minute film. And there's a four-letter word in it.
Oh, my.
And I thought, I can't put this on my website. I'm not, and the film was a decent film. But the F-bomb flies in it, and I said, why? Well, he wanted it to be real. I said, be real? The Christian people are going to, I'm not going to sell this to my customers, and churches are not going to want to use this. They're not, because of that word. And so in his mind, it was actually a girl. In her mind, she made a real film. And, you know, she's going to live with the consequences, and, you know, you got to be tasteful and you got to draw a line. So we take the higher road and all that.
But Rich,
I don't know if that helps, but, you know, it's obviously nobody's got has got the total answer to it, but there's two sides of the coin for you.
Oh, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you, Tara. We appreciate you calling in.
Okay, God bless.
All right, have a good night. And, you know, Rich, on that same topic, and let me just throw this in, then let's move on to something else I want to talk about because we got about 10 minutes left, all right? On that same note, you know, trying to be real with that at the same time, don't you think, if you can keep this answer short so we can move on to another topic, don't you think, though, sometimes when we make these films where things are so sanitized, it can make it hard for people to relate to just regular Christians? Because, you know, quite honestly, I have heard some people that I know are Christians, that I know are going to heaven, drop the F-bomb. And, you know, I'm not approving that, all right? I'm not saying, hey, that's okay. But at the same time, I don't know if that would negate their Christianity. And when we present Christians in films as such sanitized people like the Ned Flanders, it almost makes it a caricature that people look at a joke and is like, well, that's not real because real people can't be like that.
Yeah, certainly all Christians sin. I mean, everybody, you know, so I can't argue that. I just think that there's a business side to this, too, that maybe can answer your question. For example, there's a guy, friends of mine, that made this movie called Mercy Streets, okay? Now, Mercy Streets is a decent film. It's kind of a gritty film on the street. But you know what? It's not Christian enough for it to be in the Christian market, and it didn't fly in the secular market because there's so much competition. And so it sits in nowhere No Man's Land, and the movie didn't do very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so to answer your question, I think lots of times finding a marketplace for these things is going to be the problem. It's going to be a problem. And it's like the person that made the movie called The Rapture, which was about this girl that was a call girl, like a 900 number,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a lot of sex stuff in it, and then she truly gets saved, I guess, and her life changes, but the movie sat in nowhere's land. It wasn't strong enough for the secular market, and no Christian bookstore, no Christian thing would touch it because of the sex scenes in it, and it went down the tubes, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe we should move on.
Well, you know, I agree with you. It's a tough thing, you know, and as a writer, you know, it's the same type of thing. You know, Christians...
I can't get away from this, Joe. I can't get away from this.
Right.
We want to make, you know, if you want to make something real and you want to make it gritty, I understand that. But deep down, you're making it because you want to try to reach that person,
mm-hmm.
okay? But at the same time, if only God's Spirit can reach that person, rule one has to be, I first have to please God. I'm not saying, you know, you say, okay, it's like a guy came and talked to me once and he's got a ponytail. And what he does, he goes out on the streets at night, and the reason why he has a ponytail is because it makes him more acceptable to talk to the kids. I don't have a problem with that. And maybe some people would, that the Christian shouldn't have a ponytail. He's doing it for a specific purpose. But at the same time, you better be sure with what you're doing is still pleasing to the Lord and glorifying the Lord, because that's your first call. Your first call on this radio show is to glorify the Lord first. And so, you know, if you were going to make a film to try to reach gang guys or whatever, I mean, obviously you're going to strategize, but I still think it can be done in a way where you can reach the gang guys but also please the Lord.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with your first principle that first and foremost, it's always got to, you know, glorify the Lord. We got another caller on the line. Let's squeeze this one in. We'll pull the top of the hour. Michael's on the line. Michael, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I just had a couple quick questions for your guests.
All right.
If you moved on, that's okay.
Okay, no, throw them in.
I'm listening to your guests talk about just how different movies need to be strictly Christian. And I was thinking about movies like Stigmata and The Matrix. And I was wondering how he would respond to, or how you would respond to, those people who have been impacted, at least to ask the question.
Well,
that's my first question. My next question, I'll follow up. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Michael, let me just say, on the whole thing about Stigmata as a movie reaching people, and Rich, I don't know if you saw this film. I did not see this film, but you were talking earlier about films, you know, are they anointed of God? Do they have that spirit and whatnot? On the flip side of that, I have definitely come across some movies that have the opposite spirit that I just know are films being used by the agenda of Satan and his minions. And when I saw the trailer for Stigmata, I was freaked out because I could just sense a spirit, if you will. I'm not talking demons or anything, but the spirit of that film was so opposite of anything biblical. I was terrified. I was like, why is this in movie theaters, and why would people ever go see this? But Rich, go ahead and tackle that with The Matrix and other types of films actually reaching people.
Look, God doesn't need The Matrix. He doesn't need Stigma. That's why I used the example earlier to the caller, and we appreciate the question, about The Sixth Sense. The Sixth Sense was the movie that came out. It was a very popular movie with Bruce Willis about life after death. Well, you know, somebody could watch that movie, and you could use that as a witnessing tool and say, hey, do you ever think about life after death? No? Or what's your opinion of life after death? And, you know, within 5 minutes, you could be talking about Jesus. And I think this is a dangerous thing because you can justify the ends, do not justify the means, do not justify the ends. Because now, like I said, let me ask the caller, would you have a problem if I made an X-rated Christian film where I showed a guy who was in pornography and I show all the sex scenes that he does, but then I show the guy truly getting saved, the true gospel, and I show him living the changed life? Now, let me ask the caller, what do you have a problem with what I just said? Do you have a problem with that film?
Well, sure, and the reason why is because if you show all that up front, you really have to ask the question if the person who's producing the film had the spirit within him when he was making the film, because chances are it would lead them away from actually showing that stuff on screen. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that. We're talking about stuff that is commonplace. And quite frankly, pornography is commonplace in your closet. It's not. That's something that I would say most people would probably step away from. But the stuff that you actually see on the street corner, that's the stuff that we're talking about. Would you agree?
Well, like The Matrix, okay, like The Matrix, I guess, had some parallels to Christianity, right? Just a little bit.
That's what some people say.
You know, I heard this, that a Christian guy wrote The Matrix, you know, and so he tries to show the character being born again or whatever. And it's, look, man, why not be clear about it? You know, I just think this is why we have the lukewarm church, because we're like grabbing straws. Now, certainly you as a Christian, you can use things of the world to talk to people about, you as a Christian, but I can't sit here and say, hey, go out and watch all these secular films so you can use them. You know, I'm not going to say, I'd rather have people watch the Christian films, but, you know, you can use anything as a subject matter, like the movie Signs, you know, was about UFOs, or whatever that was about. I mean, you could use that eventually, and like, here's the guy as a preacher or whatever. I don't know. Like the movie Leap of Faith, if you ever saw that with Steve Martin, which, you know, was like a traveling, charismatic guy that supposedly healed people. He faked it out. And then one night there truly was a healing or whatever. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but there supposedly was a Christian that wrote that film. And as you watch that movie, I did see that film, there are some elements of truth in it. But it's so messed up with the messed up stuff, it's hard to pick it out. And so a Christian, maybe somebody like you, sir, or somebody like Joe, you can watch Joe and you can pull it out. But the non-believer can't. He can't discern it. And I just think it sends a mixed signal. And we don't go there with our films, put it that way. And maybe, what was your other question you wanted to ask?
Well, Michael, hold on. We got about 2 minutes left in the show, so we're not going to be able to do that. If you'll email me your question, I'll pass it along to Rich. Would that be all right?
Absolutely. And I thank Rich for talking with us.
All right. Michael, just send your question, any question that you want to follow up on with this, studio@m88.org. And I'll pass it along to Rich, all right?
Sounds good, guys. Thanks
all right.
a lot.
Thanks a lot, Michael. And, Rich, let me just wrap things up tonight by saying, you know, I really appreciate what you do as a filmmaker. It's one of the reasons I wanted you to have you on the show, because I absolutely agree with you. There's a need for good, solid Christian films. You know, my calling has been a lot of finding common ground with people to tell them about Christ. And I do that through my writing and some of the stuff I do here on the air. Because, you know, like with a Star Wars or with a Matrix, well, everyone's seen that. And then that gives me instant common ground to talk with a total non-believer. Whereas you're approaching it from, you know, the angle of making good, solid Christian films that Christians can also use to take to someone, where you invite a friend and say, hey, you want to see this? Not only will it be entertaining, but it could be life-changing. And I think that is also an awesome field to be working in, and it's certainly one that's vitally needed for every Christian. We got about a minute left. Any concluding thoughts that you want to share with everyone tonight, Rich?
Well, you know, hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Because
I realize there's no real solid answers here, but it's kind of like there's some Christian websites out there that sell Christian movies, and they also sell a movie like The Count of Monte Cristo. Now, that's a movie that I did see, and if somebody has seen that, now that has maybe a couple little Christian elements in it, but to me that's not a Christian film. It doesn't talk about Christ at all. But because it has some spiritual elements, they put it on their website.
Well, let me just say this about The Count of Monte Cristo, because this is a pet peeve of mine. The movie, awful. The book, one of the best books ever written. So, like, after I read the book, I got rid of my DVD of The Count of Monte Cristo, because I never wanted to see that movie again.
Okay, so would you consider that to be a Christian movie?
The Count of Monte Cristo, a lot of people talked about that. Oh, yeah, it's got this, that, and the other thing. I went to go see it, and, you know, yeah, just because it's a talent that I have, sure, I could pull out some Christian themes from it, but I would not consider that a Christian movie in any sense of the word, nor would I consider it, I know this can make a lot of people upset, nor would I consider it a really good movie. I thought it was kind of, especially after I read the book, I was like, why are people entertained by that when it's a literary masterpiece and then it's like a cheap film that is, I won't go there anymore, because it's one of my all-time pet peeves about Count of Monte Cristo, because it's one of my all-time favorite books.
We don't sell it on our website, but a lot of Christian websites do sell it. And see, to me,
really?
Yeah, they sell that. And so are you doing it for souls, or are you doing it for sales?
Right.
And the argument is somebody comes to that website and they buy that, but then they'll buy one of the other Christian movies, kind of like the Amy Grant syndrome, as they used to say. Amy Grant started out doing solid Christian music, and then she got real famous doing her crossover music, and they say, okay, they're going to buy that, then they're come look for other stuff. Well, where's Amy's ministry today? It's shot. Mm-hmm. I don't see her doing anything. And see, we got a whole other hour due on this, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not just to pick on Amy, but these are the problems, and obviously there's no concrete answers, but, you know, the guys that are making all these crossover movies, I would say, look, make one for the Lord. Make one real film for the Lord, and you may never go back to the crossover movies, you know. And God's done the work on our heart to do it, and certainly nobody's going to reach everybody. Everybody's got to do what God's calling them to do. But, you know, this stuff, The Count of Monte Cristo, I think, is a very good example, though. And there's more films like The Sound of Music, which is a good, feel-good film, but that's not a Christian movie. Yet it's on a lot of Christian websites.
Yeah.
You know, Highway to Heaven is nothing, it's not a Christian thing. It isn't. Touched by an Angel is not a Christian thing. It's a Mormon thing, if it's anything.
Yeah.
And yet it's on Christian websites. And see, to me, we eliminate all that stuff from ours.
Well, Rich, you're absolutely right. I mean, we could go on with this, and I would love to have you back again in the new year. We'll pick some time that's appropriate, something happening, you know, in the theaters or whatnot, and we'll have you back. And I know you and I could go on about this forever because I think we have a similar passion for movies that diverges in some places. But man, I just love chatting with you. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. All right.
Thanks a lot, yo. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully nobody's totally offended out there, and you didn't lose any listeners, you know?
Hey, you know what? If I can't lose listeners on my own, and Lord knows I've tried on certain shows, I don't think you have done any damage. Hold on. I'll chat with you here a little bit more after I wrap things up, all right?
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you so much. Rich Cristiano joining us, ChristianMovies.com. If you want to check out his website, see what he has to say so far as the articles go, the movies that they sell there, his movies, Unidentified and Time Changers, Unidentified, now available on DVD. Time Changers also available on DVD. And that's going to wrap things up for Raw Talk tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. And next week, it's going to be interesting. We're talking about the pagan Christmas. That's right, a lot of those traditions that we hold so dear actually have some pagan roots to them. Well, how do we as Christians handle that, especially when there's certain other holidays by the name of Halloween where we don't want anything to do with it because of pagan roots? So we'll discuss that. We'll have a former Wiccan who's now a Christian join us. We'll also have a pastor from Tucson, Scott Richards, joining us for that show. So it'll be a special Christmas treat for you. That's next week on Raw Talk. Until then, have a shway evening in the Lord.